Go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 12. I was a little bit surprised when I heard the message that the Lord wanted me to deliver today. But the message that I have for you today is so simple. Got to remember, my training is an engineer and not a scientist. You remember the difference between a scientist and an engineer? Scientists are all about truth, you know, and thank God we're all about truth. But what I mean is like E equal MC squared, you know. And once they get that figured out, they're ready to go into the next thing. But the engineer, he's like comes through this through the room after the scientist, and he starts picking up the notes and pieces of paper off the floor and goes, E equal MC squared. I bet I can make a toaster out of that. It'll help people. Well, that's really my calling in the body, is a teacher, all right, but a teacher in a way that's going to help change your life. Bring these things down in a level that we can walk in them. Amen. So, Romans 12, let's just start there for a moment. Now, I'm going to tease you a little bit. Before today is over, I'm going to share with you a secret that is so simple, every one of you can do it before nightfall, and I promise you it will change your life. Romans chapter 12, can we just read the whole chapter? I'm telling you, this one chapter, if we live this, glory to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Could we preach right there? You know, it is possible to present your body holy before the Lord. Anyway, that's not the message. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Now, what does Paul mean, through the grace given unto me? He's talking about his calling in the body of Christ. This is what God has given him to do. He started off as a prophet and a teacher and eventually became an apostle. But this is what God called him to do. He told him from the beginning that he's called him to bring the truth not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, okay? And this is his grace. So, to the grace given unto me, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. There's so many messages here, we could just preach and preach, but I know what he wants today. But now get this part. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing. Do you earn a gift? No. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, wait a minute. Earlier he said, I'm speaking to you through the grace given unto me. This is my calling. This is what I do. I'm an apostle, teacher. You know, apostle pretty much has all of the gifts working in them. Okay? This is my gift. But he says, now, the whole body, though, has many parts. And there's gifts in each part. My heart doesn't do what my thumb does. My thumb doesn't do what my heart does. Neither one of them do what my lungs do. My lungs have gifts. my lungs are made in a way that they do something different than my elbow. Okay? So having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and he starts listing a few of them, and this is not all inclusive, but whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, I can't... You know, Dave would teach according to this measure of faith. Dave would take, remember the pie? He says, I used to wonder when it come to fractions, how when the number got bigger, like 1/64th, man, that ought to be a big piece. But as the number gets bigger, your piece of pie gets smaller. Remember that? What he's talking about, according to the measure of faith, God's going to give you faith for whatever it is you've been called to do. And he's also given you the gifts to accomplish it. And they're gifts. You don't earn them. You just receive them and walk in them. Okay. Enough on that. So, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Here's one. He that giveth. There's a ministry of giving? Yeah, sure is. Not many walk in it. Most have a ministry of gathering. Anyway, we're going on from there. Again, I've got to stick with what he wants today. But there is a ministry. What's the number one thing God's called you to do? Give money away. Giving. Giving clothes away, giving shoes away, giving whatever. There's a ministry of that. So, verse 7, on ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. I'm sorry. You can't go, remember the guy who blew the trumpet? Dun da da dun da da da. Dun da da dun da da da. I'm about to give something to the poor. No, you do it with simplicity. The best way is your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand's doing. It's not about that at all. It's not about men. It's about you doing. You're actually being the hand from the Lord. He's still giving to the poor. Using your hand now. Your wallet. Your bank account. Anyway. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. Isn't that interesting? Diligence. That means same every time. No partiality. Diligence. Ruleth. That's what law is for, isn't it? Nobody's above the law. Okay. Now, I'm not talking about the law of Moses. I'm talking about the law of love, really. Okay, but nobody's above it. And sometimes rulers have to be diligent. And sometimes it hurts. I'm trying not to teach. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did. No. Okay, I'll use myself. He's always kind of mean to me and nice to you. When he had me wanting to forgive, he told me I had to forgive those people. Did I do it in the beginning with cheerfulness? No. I did it through raw obedience. I was not happy about it at all. Today it's much different. I thank God that, and I don't know how to phrase it. I'm not trying to correct anything, but I thank God that today it really is with cheerfulness. You know, it's not the same. I'm just not the same that I was then. Anyway, number 9. Sue says, thank God. Sue says her too. Thank God. Number 9. Let love. Now here we go. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor. That's a good word. Abhor that which is evil. Detest. That's a good word. Detest it. But cleave to that which is good. I know what it is to cleave unto my wife. See, I want to cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now notice, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. That word business there is not the same word business that we use for business today, although you could apply it if you're a businessman, but what it's really saying is don't be lazy. Whatever it is he's called you to do, whichever one of these graces that you're in, whichever one is your calling, be about your Father's business, not slothful. Fervent in spirit, but notice, serving the Lord. Now that's really, serving the Lord is going to be a big part of what we're going to talk about today. This is the introduction. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Hello, Pastor Dave. Distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Gee, this sounds like Jesus, these next verses. Of course, all of it's, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Yes, God. I also have to be obedient. There's a a movie that we watched recently at a men's meeting. Someone help me with the title. Persecuted for Christ, Tortured for Christ, Tortured for Christ. That was the title of it. And it's a story of Richard Wurmbrand when he was in prison for years and years. And I mean, they did horrible things to him. The movie really, if you read the book that he wrote, there was a lot more happened than what you see in the movie. They were expert. This was not in the movie. That what was in the movie was bad enough. Beating him, you know, they'd have him upside down and beating his feet with rods and whipping him and smacking him and everything. But in the book, they did worse than that. They took hot pokers, got them red hot, and they knew how to pierce them through your body and not hit a vital organ. Go in one side, come out your back. He showed the scars later in Congress to our, you know, many, many years later after he was free. What was the whole purpose? To renounce Christ. That was the whole purpose. And to give up the names of the people he knew that were other believers. He wouldn't do it. And they didn't give him the luxury of killing him. They knew how to torture him, keep him alive, because they wanted those names. Whew. The point here where it says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. There's a scene in that movie where the guy who's been whooping him and beating him and hurting him and doing everything, he comes into him and again he finds Wurmbrand on his knees in prayer. He says, we have taken away your... They told him that they killed his wife. They didn't. But he thought they had. We have killed your wife. We have killed your son. We have taken away your ministry. We have put you in prison. You'll die here. You'll never see the sunlight again. What in the world do you have to pray to God about? And he just looks up at the guy, broke me. He looks up at that guy, the very one that's been doing it to him. He said, I was praying for you. Oh my God. God. Bless them. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. My goodness. So rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. There it is. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Here it is. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Boy, is that a chapter or what? Glory to God. I want to focus in on this part. Each one of us has different callings in the body. God is not a cookie cutter God. He doesn't, you know, no two fingerprints are alike. No two snowflakes are alike. And I'm telling you now, no two ministries are alike. God is unique. He deals with each of us. And I have three children. I love them all. They're as different as night and day. And I wouldn't change one of them. I thank God for their differences. And I think God is looking like that at us. But with him mingled with your personality, great things are to be done. But Sue and I, now see, the one thing that may be an advantage that we had already been saved and Spirit-filled for 12 years. Before we ever walked through the doors of the prayer center. I'd never heard Dave's message, never heard of a Dave Roberson hardly. Sue told me, he's got a church right down the road here. We ought to try it out. Well, that's how we wound up here at the prayer center. But the point is, 12 years. Now, see, what you need to know, Gary, Sue can tell you, Gary was always a tapeaholic. Gary was always a wordaholic. I didn't like missing church. I liked doing, you know. But I didn't know anything about praying in tongues, what it would do for you. We would shondai once in a while. The churches we went to, you know, you'd be in a, you know, in the worship, you might, you know, a few syllables come out. But we'd never on purpose just spend time praying in the Spirit. We didn't know there was any reason to, okay? Well, we start coming here. Now, it's a simple message. I got to I was always a messageaholic. I was always a, what I mean by tapeaholic, I don't want to mention the names of the ministries, but the big ministries in the 80s, man, I devoured them all. Okay, some of it was good, some of it was really bad. But that's, and through that process, I'm just going to pick on one aspect. I believe in God's prosperity. Okay, I believe he'll take care of you wherever you go if you're about his business. But the way that they were teaching it in the 80s, your giving was all about you. Your return, your hundredfold return, name your seed, speak these words over your tithe, and you know, on and on. You know, the tithe opens the windows of heaven, the amount of your offering, that determines the amount you get back. On, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes. What I'm trying to get across to you is, through all of my diligence in messages and the word itself and diligence to go to church, when we step through the doors of this church, I should have had a t-shirt on that said, "Strongholds are us." And a lot of them were put there by well-meaning preachers. I hope they were well-meaning. And it's not, we weren't involved in any deal-breaker sins. Neither one of us has slept around on the other one. That, you know, we were both smoking. Okay, you might pick that one. But we weren't, you know, in fornication. We weren't stealing from nobody. We weren't getting drunk. We weren't going to the bars. What I'm saying is our lives were pretty good for the most part. But we, when it came to direction and leadership, and this is what Dave told me when I finally got to meet Dave. It took a while, years. I think we were here 5 years before he knew my name. Maybe not. Anyway, it was a while. But one of the earliest conversations I remember having with Dave, he says, listen, faith is great. You need to be a faith man. Remember Dave would say, my underwear is made out of a Tulsa faith flag. How many old timers remember that? Okay. He says, you don't want to lose that. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the word of God. He said, that's great if you're on the right path. But if, you know, what you need is to couple that with the leadership of the Spirit. You need to find out your calling. So in the context of Romans 12, I need to find out my grace. Can I say it that way? I need to find my calling. And I need to find his leadership within my calling. I can't just pattern after Vera. I can't pattern after... You understand what I'm saying? I can't pattern after you. Can I just say, I'm my own thumbprint made by God. I can't take your thumb and put it on. I got to find my own thumbprint, the one he gave me. Does that make sense? So Dave says, that's why. So Dave kept saying, and I'm just going to keep it simple. The message basically boiled down to, at least what I heard at the beginning, if you will pray a lot in other tongues, the Holy Spirit will help you with false doctrine. He'll help you with infirmities of your flesh. He will help you find your calling because he's making intercession for you according to the will of God. Okay, so we heard that for, I heard that for about 6 months. I checked out everything. And at the time, God had me in the perfect job. He had me as a long-haul trucker. I was gone 50, 60 hours a week in that truck anyhow. And I finally made up my mind. Shut off the CB radio, shut off the AM, you know, the regular radio. And I just made the cab of that truck my prayer closet. See, so now it's important you get this. See, I learned in engineering, if you're going to do a scientific experiment, if you want to see what changes something, just change one variable. Just change one thing. Change the heat, see what that does. Change the light and see what that does. You see what I'm saying? Well, in our lives, I was still a wordaholic. I was still a tapeaholic, if you'll allow me. But the only variable that really changed was praying in other tongues a lot. That's the only thing that changed. And now here's the amazing thing. Everything that Dave said would happen began to happen in my life. Everything. I'm just shandying my, just praying along. Sometimes I'd go hours, never hear nothing, never see nothing, never understand nothing. Boring. Plus, usually the devil's telling you all that time you're praying, that's just you making up the words anyway. That's not even the Holy Ghost, you know. See, I've got some witnesses here. By the way, I've been at this almost 40 years. He'll still tell you that sometimes. But I just started praying. Now, remember, we weren't in any deep sin, but I had strongholds of all kinds of false doctrine. I'm just going to pick on just in the financial arena, okay? Kingdom finances. Man, so much stuff. But I had been taught it by preachers. So my brain had these strongholds of thought that I thought were God, and I had scripture for each and every one. I didn't know at the time they were scripture taken out of context. Dave had to teach me about that too. Thank God for Pastor Dave. Thank God he saved my life. Saved my life. I don't think I'd be alive today without Pastor Dave. Anyway, I'd pray and I'd pray. Sometimes hours and hours would go by, and all of a sudden I'd get a little teaching vision, I call them, just a little something. I'd write it down in my spiral. Didn't have no computer. Didn't even have a cell phone. I know you young ones go, what? There was life before cell phones? I used to have to wait till I got to the next truck stop to put quarters in the machine to call Sue. What? Worse than that, I can tell you about life before microwaves. I can tell you about life before colored TV. Whew. Yeah, on the way to school, I had to dodge the dinosaur tracks, you know. Okay, maybe not quite that far back. Everything Dave said would happen began to happen in my life. Now, see, when you if you really commit to prayer, I wouldn't say it will happen exactly, because it wasn't always the same with me. Sometimes it'd be a little vision. Sometimes he would bring up scriptures. Now, one advantage that I did have, I had a lot of word in me. Sue knows from the time I got, for 12 years, I had been devouring the Bible. I used to read Proverbs a chapter a day for every day. I did it for 10 years, at least, maybe longer than that. Every day, every day, every day, plus other parts of the Bible. I mean, I had a lot of word for him to work with, okay? It was on deposit. I didn't understand much of it, but it was there. He began bringing it up. I'm just trying to say it worked. And stronghold by stronghold, I'm not talking sin, I'm talking false doctrine mostly. He tore that edifice, that stronghold, that fortress of greedy prosperity in me down. He took it to the ground. And man, then I didn't know what was right. So what did I do? I kept praying. I kept praying. And you know, he line by line, brick by brick, he began building the truth in me. Now, Dave was helping. Dave would teach, and I would incorporate everything that Dave would say and check it out. But I know it came from that prayer and that time of fellowship. Don't get hung up on the visions or the voice. I'm telling you, I will tell you, if you will pray a lot in other tongues, the Holy Spirit will help change you. He'll tear down false doctrine. He'll, like Nathan was saying this morning, he will put such a spotlight on who you are in Christ. He'll keep focusing on who you are that the thought of sin is just like, whoa. Yeah. You come to the place, you hate it like he hates it. I don't do that. That's not who I am. But he does. The Holy Spirit is here to do all of that. He bears witness with your spirit. You're a child of God. You don't do that. Okay? It's all true. It's all true. Well, the time came. There was 2 years of that. 2 years driving the trucks, praying a lot in other tongues. And then finally, in my case, he called me full time. Now, I'm going to give you a sidebar. Today, he would have a harder time calling me full time than he did then. Because then, a big part of my thinking was, well, you're not even in the game if you're not full time. What I mean is quit your job and live by faith. I know now that is so unnecessary. In fact, I think there's fewer and fewer that's going to be like that, because, listen, on the job is where the sinners are. We're to be light in the darkness. Isn't that right? You can't be light in the darkness unless you're out there. We're not called to be monks holed up somewhere. How did Dave say that? You know, we're supposed to go and preach, so the devil gets you to be a monk, hold up somewhere and be silent. Yeah, okay. So anyway, that's not the message either. We still haven't got to the message. This is all introduction. So anyway, then I went full time. Then came the days of the ugly building. Most of you know I had a little building. It was really ugly. It got better as I stayed over there. Man, because I knew I had to keep praying. So I'd go to that building. I'd be there at dawn a lot of times. Who knows? I wouldn't be home till noon, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Sometimes if it was before a conference, I'd be there from dawn in the morning till after dark at night, praying, just praying, praying. And he was still teaching me and preparing me, and he was starting to use me some in the services. But I had the hardest time getting quiet. And then now we're starting to get to it. Because I would try and get, because see, it's wonderful to be taught, but eventually you're supposed to go do. Isn't that right? Well, what am I called to? I'm hearing you, Lord. I appreciate everything you're teaching me. I appreciate everything you're showing me. But I want to know what you call me to do. Am I in the right place? Are y'all okay? And so I would try and get quiet. And my brain, it's like I couldn't hear him. And I thank God for Tim. I have learned almost as much through Tim Stemple as I have Dave Roberson. But they have two completely different ways of teaching. Okay? And two different messages that merge. What I mean is this. So I was sharing, complaining, whining. I would say sharing at that time. I was sharing with Brother Tim. Tim, I can't get quiet. I go over to that ugly building and I'm trying, and then all my mind, it keeps saying, you got to do this today. You got to do that today. Don't forget to do that over there. Later on, you got to do this. And Tim, bless his darling heart. Now, for those of you that can't see me, I'm holding up a little notepad, a little yellow lined notepad that you can buy at the dollar store. Get five of them for a dollar. Okay, listen, this little notepad. Tim handed me one of those. He said, now, your problem, Gary, is that you're trying to fight against the way God made your mind. And I went, what? What? God made your mind to remind you so you'll be a good, diligent person of the things you're supposed to do. And its job is to remind you. And you're trying to get it to stop doing that. Rather than do that, every time, he says, tomorrow when you go into prayer, take this little notepad with you, and every time, now you could use your cell phone, notepad, you know, just electronic, it doesn't matter how you do it, but every time your mind tells you, do this, write it down. And your mind will go, Gary heard me. He got that. He heard me. I don't need to remind him again. I saw him write it down. I didn't really think like that, but it works like that. Okay? And he says, now if he doesn't do it, I'm going to check later. If he doesn't do it, I'm going to remind him again. But for now, he heard me. He says, what will happen? You'll write those things down. Your mind will go, okay, I don't have to keep reminding him about this. And eventually your mind will settle down and you'll get quiet. Oh, that was one of the best practical teachings I have ever had in my life. I don't remember now. It's been too many years. But it was in the range of 40 some odd things that I wrote on that pad. If I remember right, might have been somewhere in that range. I mean, it was not three or four. My mind is active. It was like in the range of 40 things that I wrote down. But boy, my mind got quiet. I began to hear God in a way I hadn't heard him before. It just got more clear. And the great thing is, when your time of prayer is over, let's say, you know, you stayed, well, however long you stayed, I don't want to pick a number, then you leave. Man, you've got your to-do list actually written out. It is amazing how more productive your day will be. I mean, it's amazing. It's still to this day, when I do that and I take that to-do list, man, the next 4 hours, boom, 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 boom. I'm knocking stuff down. Get out of my way. Glory to God. I am diligence going somewhere to happen. And I don't forget stuff and I don't get distracted near as much. I lived that way for a long time. And I still do that part. But now here's the part that's not so much fun to tell about. I had lunch with David, Kyle, my son-in-law the other day. And I shared this with them, and then the Lord says, you're going to share it with everybody? I goes, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. Okay. Because I said, man, that worked like a charm. My mind would get quiet. I'd hear from God. Then I had my to-do list. I'm good for the day. And I said to them, I don't want to admit how long it was before one day I had this thought. Well, I want to thank you for my to-do list, Lord. Oh, by the way, do you have a to-do list? Is there anything you'd like to do today? Through me? We're not going to talk about how long it was before that thought came. See, even that is the Holy Ghost growing me up. Even that is the Holy Ghost getting me there. I remember one day I was praying at the ugly building, just praying away, man. Just doing. And when I'd pray, I walked straighter than I do now. But then I'd shun down. I'm praying, walking up and down that thing, man. Praying. And I'll tell you, if you do that, you will come to a place where you know His voice. You'll know where it is. You'll discern that place in you. And it's not always a voice. I don't know how else to teach it either. Same way you hear your conscience, which is, you know how you hear your conscience. And it's pure. You know what it's saying. His voice very often comes that way. But sometimes it comes with more than just your conscience. That day, I'm praying. I've probably been over there half my prayer time. My allotted prayer time at the, you know, seasons of prayer change. I used to pray a certain number, that changes with time. Anyway, I was about halfway through, and I got a direct instruction, clear as a bell. I knew exactly what it was. Take a certain amount of money and go give it to this person. And I said, I'll do that, Lord, just as soon as I finish my prayer time. And I started praying again, and there was like, at that, it wasn't the same. It was like, what? Like, all of a sudden, I got this check in my gut, and, well, what's going on? You know, and he goes, aren't you praying to hear my instruction? Oh, you mean now? Oh! Sure enough, there was a reason. There's no point going into that. There's always a reason for everything that He tells you to do. Now, sometimes He'll tell you, take it over there at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Or you know, whatever the instruction is. But that one, the way that one came, it was like, no, this is what you do right now. See, and if we don't get to that point, no matter, that's why I went to Romans 12. You've got a calling. You've got a calling. You've got a grace. You've got a grace. There's gifts in you. I'm telling you right now, there's gifts in Sue I don't have. I don't think I will ever have. Okay? And I thank God for the gifts in her. For me to try and do what she does is just be useless. I can't do that. But the two of us together make one pretty good team. You see what I'm saying? Well, all of us together would make a really good team. See? It's not my place to try and do what she does. I need to do what I do. She does what she does. Boy, we hook up together. That's a pretty good team. Now if we hook up with... What if we all did that? We'd be like the body of Christ or something. Wouldn't that be a novel idea? And all the parts working together and not against each other. No competition. No. How did Dave teach that? The foot has somewhat against the ear. The foot says, look at that ear. It's always available. Everyone sees the ear. Sometimes you even hang jewelry on that ear. Remember that? The foot says, what do I get? I get stuffed in a sock, into a shoe. Nobody ever sees me. And I want you to know I'm supporting the weight of this ministry. That's funny, but that's the body of Christ. That Nathan, he gets a microphone. Everybody gets to hear that. Nathan, what do I do? I'm stuck over here in the corner and praying. Yeah, and if you keep praying, God will put you where you need to be. Wherever that is. May not be with a microphone. Maybe, who knows what it'll be. I don't want to, you know. The point I'm trying to make today is God's to-do list. God has got a to-do list. I really recommend doing what Tim taught me for your to-do list. Just the things in the natural that has to get done. Because I'm telling you, if you'll do that, you'll get more done every day. You'll surprise yourself with the diligence. But grow to the place now where you start, God, do you have a to-do list for me? I don't hear something every day. Yes, sir. Go ahead and turn to Acts 16:6. Let's see some of this in the Word. Y'all getting anything out of this? God's to-do list, see? This is one of my favorite passages about the leadership that comes from the mind of Christ by way of the Holy Ghost. Now, would you say Paul and Silas had good intentions? I think they did. I think they were absolutely wanting to obey God's perfect will. So, we'll just pick it up here in verse 6. Now, when they had gone through, and if I mispronounce these words, have mercy. Remember that mercy gift? Anyway. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and what? Were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Now see, this is where you're going to get in trouble with the go-yees. I am all about go-ye. But I want to be sent. I do not want to send myself. Okay? Now I don't have to hear God to... If I find you hungry, there's no food in your house, I don't have to... Had one preacher say that. I don't need an email from God. I've already got a letter. I don't need to wait for a radio signal when I've already got a letter on. There's so many foundational things. If I've got a biscuit, you got a biscuit. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way it works? We'll share the biscuit. We'll both stay alive till something else happens. Okay? But when it comes to other things, when it comes to the grace given unto you for your calling, look at this. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go to preach the word in Asia. Well, that means they were thinking about it. They were thinking about going to Asia. So then after they come to Mysia, they assayed, they weighed in their mind like they assay gold, you know, to get the gold out of the rock. They weighed in their mind whether to go into Bithynia. And notice, but the Spirit, capital S, Holy Ghost, suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A night vision. Now, he may have been wide awake and had a vision during the night, or it could have been a dream. Okay, but the end result, it spoke to him. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, who generated that vision? That God, but God the Holy Ghost. He's the one that we're working with. He's the one that's with us, and he's our helper. Why did he say that? Why did the Holy Ghost show him that vision? Because it's the mind of the King. It's the mind of Christ. That's where to go. Paul, it's not up to you. You go where I say. Isn't that right? Okay. So a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Can I just tell you, that was God's to-do list. That was God's to-do list for Paul and Silas. Going anywhere else to go ye would have been out of order, rebellion. Let me just say immaturity. Going anywhere else. We're going to go ye to Ephesus anyhow, because I have go ye in my Bible. Well, that's one, and he'll bless that all that he can. He sure will. He'll bless that. I'm telling you right now, I am not called, I know for sure in my case, I'm not called the pastor, because he told me I'm not. And he told me I never will be. I'm not a pastor. If you don't believe that, hang around me a little while. You'll find out. Okay? I'm a teacher. Anyway. So, yet, if somehow I was deceived, somehow Gary go ye and start a pastoring a church wherever, God would bless that all that he could. He would bless it all that he could. But boy, I'd be way out on the fringe of his permissive will somewhere. I don't want to be out on the fringe of his permissive will. I want to be right smack center of his will. Well, smack center. See, you're not going to get that without getting God's to-do list. You've got to get his to-do list. Now, Gary, do you hear from him every day? There's days go by where I don't get anything on God's to-do list because I'm already where he wants me to be. I'm already doing what he's called me to do. But there's times in that, even then, well, he'll say, call so-and-so, take him to lunch. Take some money over there. He's always dealing with Sue on a similar, within her grace. Somebody needs clothes. Somebody needs shoes. Somebody needs this. These kids need candy. Have y'all ever seen that? Okay, you know what I'm saying, though. But anyway, the way he works through her is different than how he works through me. But he has a to-do list that it's not okay to ignore. But you can't do it if you can't hear it. And that's why I so recommend first doing what Tim taught me. Just when you pray, write down all that stuff, those things that come to your mind. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to change the oil in the car. I got to fix the fence. I got to do this. I got to do that. And it's amazing how quiet you'll be. But then don't take years to come to where I finally got to. Oh, and I'm also listening for your to-do list, Lord. If there's anything you want me to do today, I'm here to do it. Let's look at a couple more. Go over to Acts 9. say, well, yeah, but Paul and Silas, they're apostles. Okay, let's look at Joe Public. So, Acts 9, verse 10. And there was a certain what? This is a disciple. He's not an. We never find that he's an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher. We never find that he's called to the fivefold. For all I know, he was praying at his ugly building. You understand what I mean by that? He's minding his own business, doing whatever it is. But there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord, now notice, in a vision. Who brings those visions? That's the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said to him, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Here's God's to-do list for Ananias. Arise, go into the street, which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Now, I'm going to put this in today's terms. Even though Osama bin Laden is dead now, everyone knows Osama. You know who that is. It would be as if, and you know what? You know how Osama felt about Christians, okay? It would be as if God speaks to you and says, I need you to go to Osama bin Laden's house. And by the way, here's the address. And I want you to go in there and tell him that Allah is not God and Jesus is the Son of God. And the only way to be saved is through Jesus. Yeah. Do that. That's my plan for you today. Go do that. Today. Ananias had some reservations now. Continuing the vision, verse 12. And has seen in a vision, he's telling him, Osama, Saul, has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. I love the purity of the word. I love the reality. Ananias understood who he was talking about. It would be the equivalent of Osama in that day. Saul, the one who goes around having Christians arrested, stoned to death, put in prison. Are you sure? Then Ananias answered, Then Ananias answered, Lord. Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And I want to add a little now. Lord, are you aware that he hath authority from the chief priests to bind, that means put in prison, all them that call on thy name? Did you love the honest? And the Lord said unto him, oh, I hear what you're saying. It's okay. I know you're weak and not able to do what I ask you to do. Just stay home. I'll find somebody else. Is that what he said? No. See, he says, go. Go thy way. Would it have been okay to say for Ananias to go, go? I heard go. I'm going to go to synagogue. How about I'm going to go to the prayer center and pray? How about I'm going to go fast? I heard go. No, you go where I said go. You go where I said go. You're not in charge. Ananias had to be thinking, what if, several things. What if this is really you, but Saul kills me? Go anyway. What if I'm not hearing you? You still got to go anyway. Isn't that right? You hear what I'm saying? Go anyway, and because that's part of the learning process. And if you missed it, you'll find out you missed it. That'll drive you further, should drive you farther, further into your prayer closet so that you more accurately discern his voice. But there's no excuse for not obeying. If you just don't obey, you're just not a disciple. Notice how it started off, disciple, disciplined follower. Okay. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. See, this is God's to-do list, is what I'm trying to get at. I don't think Ananias heard something like that every day, do you? I don't think he did. He may have heard, you know, I'm sure he heard things on a, probably not a such a grand scale, you know, not so dangerous. But listen, if we don't get to the place where we hear God's to-do list for us, it's not about just pray for the sake of praying. It's not about just fasting for the sake of fasting. It's to become disciplined followers so that we hear and obey. Isn't that right? Okay, one more. Let's look at one more. Go to Acts 10. You're close. These are all real familiar. And again, I got to remind you, Ananias is not an apostle. He's just a disciple. Am I speaking to disciples? There's any one of you can hear the Lord's plan for you. If I can't hear him, start with the little yellow pad. Start writing down those things that your mind is constantly reminding you of. It'll help you get quiet. And then on purpose, listen for his, you know, do you have something for me? Yes, sir. I want to add this too. It's not just a matter of once in a while. Consistent prayer. Remember Dave teaching this? Consistent prayer, where you make a lifestyle of prayer. Your calling will grow in you like a tree. Whether you hear him say you're a teacher, you're a prophet, you're a whatever, whether you ever hear those words or not, that ministry he has for you, his will grow in you like a tree. I can't improve on Nathan's. I love Nathan's example. Here he is in Texas with his sweetie pie, Lori, who we all love. And he's madly in love with her, and yet the more he prays, he gets this knowing he's supposed to move to Tulsa. And that's against his will. It's against his flesh. It's against his dreams. It's against his future, as far as he can tell. But he says, I love how he said it. He said, but I kept praying anyway, and the day came for me not to move to Tulsa would be sin. He says, I don't ever remember hearing a voice say, move to Tulsa. Just the same way your conscience communicates with you perfectly, so does God the Holy Ghost. And whether you ever hear that audible voice or not, or a voice within, that will grow in you like a tree if you're consistent. Amen. I needed to put that in there. Okay, it is good. You know who I got it from? Pastor Dave Roberson. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God, my pastor. Thank God for my pastor. Hallelujah. Acts 10, thank you. Okay. It's important that you know that this event took place roughly, now not exactly, but nearly 10 years after the Lord ascended into heaven. Yet we have often studied in the last two verses of Matthew, and that right before the Lord ascended into heaven, did he not say, go ye into all the world? That means the Gentiles, does it not? But for nearly 10 years, at least Peter has not been doing that. Peter was still of the opinion only the Jews could be saved, even though the Lord told him otherwise. See, strongholds are strongholds. Dave used to say, strongholds cannot be dismissed. They must be turned. You're going to see a stronghold come down here. Because Peter is still of the opinion them slimy Gentiles are unclean, they're dirty. I'm not going to go talk to them, even though Jesus told him to go. So sometimes, anyway. So verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry, and he would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And I've never yet fallen into a trance. I'm not against it. Thank God I didn't fall into trances every time I prayed in the trucks. That could have been really bad, you know. Anyway, but he fell into a trance and saw. So he's having a vision and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. Do you ever remember another time when he said, not so, Lord? Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed. Not so, Lord. This will not happen to you. strongholds cannot be dismissed. They have to be turned. They have to be dealt with. God's dealing with a stronghold in Peter right here. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or that is common or unclean." Now that's interesting in itself, because Peter was there the day that Jesus proclaimed all foods clean. He was there that day. You can read it and find out. Peter was there. Yet he didn't change. He stuck with his tradition. Verse 15, that's not the lesson today. The voice spake unto him again the second time. How many are glad God gives you a second chance? "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And this was done three times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, see, the timing of the Lord is perfect. Because the men which were sent from Cornelius, now these are the Gentiles, had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So the timing of the Lord is perfect. He gives him this vision just as these men arrive at the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter, now get this, while Peter thought on the vision, now here's Peter's to-do list. The Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee." Not, now notice, not two, not one, not five, not 12. When it's really the Holy Ghost, Dave would teach us. Listen, you can, that Spirit within you only knows the universe within you. It does not know things outside of you. But the Holy Ghost knows everything. And He's the one that can give you addresses, phone numbers, places, times, events. Like telling here, there's three men, not five, not two. Don't you know Peter, when he went down, opened the door and there's three? Don't you know that was a confirmation? See? Three men. I love it. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down." Now notice, "and go with them." Now to Peter, that's violating another stronghold, because Jews, because he thought the Gentiles were still unclean. The law says you can't even be under their roof. God's dealing with his stronghold. "Go with them, doubting nothing." Now notice, "for I have sent them." That would be a violation to Peter. What? You sent Gentiles to my house? What? Then Peter went down to the men, which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek. What's the cause wherewith you are come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house." And into his house. He's going to go into a Gentile's house, strongholds, "and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow..." So first off, he brought them into his house and they stayed there. "And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa," and so forth. Now, we don't have time to get into this whole thing. But look what happened. Peter begins preaching the gospel to them. He obeys what the Holy Ghost said, regardless of all of his strongholds, regardless of all of his religious upbringing, regardless of the traditions of the elders and the fathers. He obeyed. He did God's to-do list for Peter. He did what God wanted him to do. And as you know, it opened up the Gentiles to the gospel. Cornelius' house. Right here it says, verse 31. Come on down to verse 31. No, I'm sorry. Verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." Here's our famous verse. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the risen Christ. And showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, and through his name whosoever believeth him shall receive remission of sins. Now is that the gospel or not? He is preaching the gospel of Christ to these Gentiles. Thank God, Peter, you're doing it. God put it on your to-do list, and you're doing it, Peter. And notice verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, fell on all them which heard the word. Now let's just focus on the Holy Ghost just for a moment. Who was it gave Peter the vision on the rooftop? That's a Holy Ghost. Why did he do it? Mind of Christ. This is God's to-do list. But the Holy Ghost is the one that we deal with. And notice what Peter was doing up there. Praying. Oh my. Who ever heard of this? He's praying up there on the rooftop. And he gets a vision about what to do. Somebody should preach this, I'm telling you. Somebody. Oh, Pastor Dave already did. I don't know what to do. Maybe you need to go up on your rooftop. No, anyway, just find your place of prayer. Get quiet. Use this yellow pad. He's got a to-do list. Now, Paul had a grace given unto him. Peter had a grace given unto him. That disciple Ananias had a grace given unto him. I don't know what the rest of his ministry, but Romans 12 says, to all of us, each and every one of us, there has been a grace given unto us, and the measure of faith God has given unto you, your measure, like Dave would teach from the slice of the pie, you have your measure for your gift. You have your measure of faith. Don't be telling me you can't do it. He says, I'm giving you the faith to do it. And I'm giving you the gifts to do it. Not earned gifts. So I just wanted to encourage you today. Simple, simple message today. But I'm telling you this, if you'll put this into practice in your life, I'm going to go through it one more time. One more. Go back to Genesis 1. No. Dollar store. 5 writing pads for a dollar. Can change your life. When you pray, get one of these out. As your mind begins reminding you of things to do, just write them down. You'll be amazed how quiet your life, your mind will get. Makes it a lot easier to hear God when you're quiet. But now take that next step of maturity and say, okay, I've got my to-do list. Lord, what's on your to-do list? And just develop that listening ear. It doesn't have to be just while you're praying. Develop that listening ear. Learn where that place is. He's always talking, to be honest with you. He's always talking. You know? And then what he says, do, just do that. Just do that. And in the natural, it may seem scary and awkward that he would ask you to do that. But if he asked you to do it, you're the one to do it. Wasn't okay for Ananias to go, just a minute, Lord, I'll find someone that'll do that for you. No, if he tells you to do it, he wants you to do it. Did y'all get anything out of that? Say it with me. I am really interested, Lord, in your to-do list. I not only want to do my to-do list, I'm even more interested in your to-do list. I'm going to spend a lot of time with you, with your Holy Spirit, getting quiet so I can hear your to-do list. And just like Saul said, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.